We've asked four people ahead of time, and we've contacted them, and we said, hey, we want you to talk about the four areas that Jesus grew in and that he excelled in. And challenge us, because we need to be challenged. Because I want to be strong in all of those areas. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. So the first area we're going to talk about is wisdom and the ability to be able to balance life. Life's busy, isn't it? Life's tough. Anybody else struggle with that? Getting everything in? Most of you guys, are you, okay, I guess just in the national office, huh? Oh, there's one. Okay, we'll talk. But no, we all do. Life's busy for us. We all have a lot to do in there. So life's incredibly busy. We need to know how to balance family, work, life, and all of that. And so an individual that we know is really good, and he's no stranger to you. I'm going to invite him to the platform. Rick Barnhouse, would you come up here? And would you talk to us about this critical area and this critical need in our lives? Would you welcome him?
Thank you. All right, let's get going here. Did that cut into our time? Luke 2:52, turn there in your Bibles or on your electronic devices. You all know it. Carl just said it for us. I think we have a slideshow to go with this. Luke 2:52. All right. And I have, where'd my clicker go? Hopefully I have a clicker. All right. Jesus, and this is a different version than we're used to, but Luke 2:52 from the disciples' literal New Testament says, and Jesus was advancing in wisdom. I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. When Carl made that call way back when and said, hey, I need somebody to talk about Luke 2:52 and what that means. And he said, we're going to talk about some different topics. And he started going over those. And I was going, nope, that's not me. Okay, nope, not that one. Okay, no, waiting for it. And we got to the end, and I was like, ooh, baby. It was like, okay, what do you want me to do? And he talked about this in the aspect of wisdom and this, the ability to judge correctly and to follow the best course of action based on knowledge or understanding. Okay, how do we know what we ought to be doing? How do we prioritize? How do we stay steadfast and last to the end? I mean, it's amazing, really, the number of you out there that have been doing this for 50 years. You know, I know some of my Southern Missouri guys better than I do the others, so I know how long they've been at this, and it's every year we come here, it's so good to see you guys. Ralph, it is always good to see you, buddy. It's just I love the fact that you guys are steadfast. So how do we do that? How do we know the best course of action? Generally, we have this list we work off of. This is, I think, the list out of some of the junior training. It's a traditional male list. We have God and family and work and ministry and me. We know that. God always comes at the top of our list. But and we're good at that. As men, we need a list. I mean, how many of you, your wife has a list for you, or you have a list, you know? When I got to Eagle Rock... talking about a list, I've got this big whiteboard, and I took it and I put ideas, short-term goals, midterm goals, long-term goals, driving factors, today's list. You'll get to see it later in the slideshow what the list is. And every day there's a list for everybody to do. And I've got to have that because there's a lot to do there. And I've got to remember, hey, why are we doing this and what's driving us? Okay, so that's just an Eagle Rock. But life doesn't always look like this list sometimes. Life usually looks more like this, okay? Each one of those blobs are parts of our lives. I'm going to show you just a little. I'm going to run through real quick just, you know, my life's blobs, things that have happened. And where is Debbie in here? There she is. There is my, I'm going to call you something horrible here in front of everybody. This is my biggest blob and always has been. Since 1975, where I first met Debbie in high school, I was sitting two seats behind her in History of Minorities class with Wayne Glenn. Down from he's in Springfield. Some of you guys will recognize his name. He's a historian now. And Debbie was just a lot of fun. Every morning she would go up and put a tack in Mr. Wayne Glenn's chair, and he'd come in and sit on it every morning and act all surprised. And she was just, she was a wild thing. No, she wasn't really. She was a good AG girl, and she drugged me to AG Church in 1975, and I was like, whoa, this is not Baptist. It was a lot of fun. So Debbie came into my life in 1975, 74 really, and other stuff is what OS is, family. But I joined the Navy in 1975. And that, you know, joining the Navy, Navy comes a pretty big blob. I mean, when you're in there, you know, just everything's got to revolve around that. Well, 1979, we had planned to stay in the Navy for 6 years, and she was going to go to college and become a doctor or whatever she was going to, I don't know what you were going to do, but going to go to college. We didn't make it quite that long. We decided in 79 we couldn't live apart anymore, and so we got married in 1979, and she's eclipsing everything else in the world that was going on at that moment. I mean, everything was just totally wrapped up in her. These blobs are not always to scale. I mean, I've got to show diversity here, you know, so it looks like, you know, things are changing. But Debbie's always been, you know, just kind of everything there. So, 81, we got out, got a new job outside the Navy, still didn't have any kids, and Royal Rangers popped up on my thing. I'd seen Rangers when I was in the Navy. Loved it. Thought it was a great idea. Couldn't do it when you're in the Navy. Navy's too big of a blob. But I got out in 81, joined Central Assembly of God up in Raytown, Missouri, and got into Rangers. Jumped in with both feet. You know, just went to training. Said, this is great. Came back the next year to help them and been training ever since. So Rangers popped up. And you'll see its blob grow as we go along. Finally, 86, we started having the kids. Kevin, Brian, and Allison came along, and I'm working, of course, and we've always been blessed. It's we have just the strangest testimony of how are you able to do what you do in Rangers? And I've been blessed with jobs that have allowed me to, you know, support my ministry. At my first job, I learned how to program. I was looking over someone's shoulder, watching them do something in BASIC, and I said, I can use that in my training for Rangers, and started writing little programs for that, so. Now I are one. 1993, we had this monster car wreck. Does life ever throw you a curve? And all your life is ate up with one thing? We had a big car wreck. Debbie was not supposed to make it. Kevin was paralyzed from the waist down. The other two kids, we made it through it pretty well unscathed. Wiped out our whole, it was our whole bubble. Everything was tied up in that. It's when you've had those big things, a lot of you have, you just know that, hey, life revolves around the car wreck right now. We're still doing church. We're still doing Rangers. We're still having to work. We still got family going on, but bad wreck messes things up. 2003 to 2008, we moved to Bolivar, Missouri in 1996. Debbie got a job at the local university with the idea of, hey, that pays all the kids way through college. And even I went and graduated in 2003 to 2008. When you're going to college, it kind of eats up a big chunk of your time. You're still doing that. But I was still doing, I was the training coordinator at the time, still had to work. Kids are all going into college. But a lot of just, how in the world do you do it? We were running the college ministry at church, still doing Ranger ministry at church, you know, different days. A lot of stuff going on, but another big blob. 2010, another humongous blob. Debbie found out she had breast cancer. Ate up all our time. Drove us towards each other. Still training, coordinating. So, by 2010, I had bought my company, so I own that. That takes up some time, but it doesn't really matter when you got a blob like cancer messing with things. Whoop. Cancer free for 6 years now. Yay! That's awesome. That's awesome. Today I'm doing the Gulf Regional coordinator and the manager down at Eagle Rock, talking about being a big blob. I mean, if I was telling the truth on here, that is a lot of hours a day. It's tearing us up. But the kids are gone. That's good news. They're out and that's fun running around the country and there's not much time for other stuff. It's just a little bitty blob. Okay, so you asked me, so Rick, where's God's blob in all this? I don't see God's blob up there, the biggest blob, the first thing on our list. What is up with that? That's not very good. I'd like to suggest to you, in this slide and in the slides that we've had up here, the steadfast slide that we have, God is not just a not just one of the blobs in your lava lamp. Okay, God is the lava lamp. He's the rock. He's the lighthouse. He doesn't change. You take a hammer and you smash your lava lamp, all your blobs are just laying out in the ground flat. They're nothing. And through all of those things, you can't do those things without God. You can't do big car wrecks and cancer, and you can't be the Gulf region coordinator, and you can't do Eagle Rock at the same time without God giving you the strength to do those things, without wrapping his arms around you and giving you a little bit of wisdom to know how to put those things together. Because we just can't do that. We are men. We are totally inadequate, okay, to do that. So, real quick, just around your tables, just share just for 2 minutes. What's your priorities today? What do you want to be doing? What do you want to be accomplishing? What's eating all your time? Share a prayer request real quick and talk about as juggling as your skill. You got a minute and 15 seconds. Go. Okay. All right, that was fun. I'm glad. I'd like to hear you visiting. All right, here's my way, or at least some of the things that works for me. One is, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. Proverbs 3:8. Proverbs 4:11 says, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you in straight paths. Another thing says, have a great support team. You need your spouse, you need your family, you need your church, you need friends like these. You need people that, when we were in Kansas City and then later in, you know, in southern Missouri as a wider range, making it without Rangers is such a great support group. You can call on, you know, your brothers for anything in the world. You all know that. You've been doing this any amount of time. It's because you've had backing from your family and friends and your church. Whatever you do, work at it with all your hearts as working for the Lord, not for human masters, in Colossians. Talks about that. Whatever you're doing in Rangers, how many have been to a meeting and not prepared well? Is that fun? No. Is it easier if you go to a meeting and you've prepared well and everything goes good and the kids get some out of it and you get some out of it? Is that fun? Yeah, as men, we can thrive on that. We can have longevity with that. Do a good job. That helps things to go better for you. Here's my list. This was Tuesday. You know, clean the bubble. Fix the ice machine. Whatever I was doing. Repair the Wi-Fi tower batteries. That's, Ronnie, that's when the squirrels had eaten their way into my battery cable. Okay? Jesus, maybe 8-10 times in the scripture, it says Jesus did not do anything but what the Father told him to do. He got a list from God and went and did that. And then the other things, believe it or not, Jesus said no to. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if he got done, there wasn't any paralyzed guy sitting outside the temple for the disciples to walk along and see? Jesus didn't get everything done while he was here. You don't have to get everything done either. Some people are going to ask you to do things, especially if you're good at the first job. They're going to ask you to do something else, right? Remember to ask God first. Say no to anything that he doesn't want you to be doing. Do it now. It really is really handy on your list and making it just to go ahead and get it done while, you know, when it first crops up instead of them piling up on your desk. Look at my desk. All right. Have a list. There's my list. And then don't let anyone discourage you. You know, there's going to be people that just naysay what you're up to, the fact that you do not have the skills to do this. Okay? And that may very well be true. But you do have the God to do this. And if he's big enough to get you there, if you let him, I think he's big enough to walk you through it. Okay? You won't get everything right. There's tons of things that I'm going to learn at Eagle Rock. I am not Roger. Roger knows everything about that place. And I love that. Rick knows everything about that place. And there are people that can do that job and know more about it than I do. But I got a big God. He'll help us figure it out. Okay? All right. Keep God first. In my slides here, I've edited that already, and I marked out first. I didn't want to keep God first. I wanted to keep God everything. Let him be everything, and let all those other bubbles be in there where he wants them to be. And as as he allows them to pass through your life, just go for it. He understands. He's been tempted in all ways like we are, yet without sin. He knows what it is for things to come up in his life. So let him do that. You see, my lava lamp, it's still warming up, so it's a little clouded. All right. Take the rest of this time here. You're going to have just a few minutes, but take some time. There's your lava lamps. Discuss practical ways that you cope with things in life. How you find time for excellence and longevity in ministry. Go.